And please open up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14 this morning. Joshua chapter 14 is our text, and we'll bounce around a little bit, and we'll be visiting Numbers and some text there as we get a little of the context of the story that we're looking at. And as we read the text this morning, we read it in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and Deuteronomy is a re-emphasis of the law that Moses gave. And as he did that, he really challenged Israel to wholly follow the Lord. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13, it says, "And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." And, I mean, that's the idea, isn't it? Of wholly following God. It's not something part-time. It's not something that is half-hearted, but it's something that is wholehearted, following after God. Verse 22 says, "For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him." And again, the idea of diligently following the commandment, that's the idea of wholeheartedly and looking in and examining what the Word of God says so that you're doing that. And then verse 23, "Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves." And as Moses is giving that instruction to the children of Israel and declaring that they need to be that people that follow God, there's an older man that's standing there in the crowd, and I believe that he's thinking something like this: "Would to God my generation had wholly followed the Lord." That they had obeyed God. That they had taken that opportunity that God gave them to go into the promised land. Because here we're past that opportunity that Israel missed as they failed and disobeyed God, didn't enter into the promised land. And there's this man again standing there. His name's Caleb. And he's thinking back, you know, Joshua, we had that enthusiasm, that love for God. We came back excited about that land of promise, excited to take it. But there were the other 10 spies that were there, and they discouraged the hearts of God's people. And that's where we're going to step back a little bit into the context of what's taking place. As you look back to Numbers chapter 13, it's that story of the spies' report when they came back. And it says, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land in the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." Okay, so they said, yeah, it's good, the land's good, but let's talk about the problems that are there. But verse 30, "Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Sad. I mean, they're not going to wholly follow the Lord. We're going to see that as we get in the story. But there's a guy there that is going to wholly follow the Lord, no matter what. And he's burned about it. He steps up and he stilled the people before Moses and said, Let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And Caleb, I think, as he listens to Deuteronomy chapter 11, as we've read it, and Moses challenging this next generation to be those that wholly follow the Lord, he's standing there thinking, you know what? 45 years later, and I'm still ready to take that land for God. Praise God for good old men of God that have stood the test of time and been faithful to God. I rejoice in that. I'm jealous for our church that God raised up older believers that can testify and say, you know, God's faithful, God's good, and just stick with God. We need that generation. Praise God, this generation had Caleb, a man like that. I had a good friend that he's 95 now. I've mentioned many times, Dr. Ed Nelson, that has prayed for us in our ministry here. I did my internship with him back in 1998. But it was preaching, as far as I know, up until a year ago. I remember last year him emailing saying to pray as he gets ready to enter into some speaking engagements that he had as a 94-year-old that was even bent over. He'd have to sit up down to get straightened up to be able to preach, but a man that was willing to still wholly follow God. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You think what Paul went through? He didn't have an easy Christian experience. I mean, not unless you think of shipwreck and beatings and mobs and stoning and imprisonment and being left for dead and probably being dead and God raising him up was an easy thing that he experienced. And yet Paul was faithful to wholly follow the Lord. I want to challenge us as we come into 2020 that we need to be people that holy follow the Lord, that by the grace of God, that we have nailed our colors to the mast, as C.T. Studd would say, and identified with Christ and saying, you know, this is where I stand, and I can do nothing else but stand, because I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. God help us to do that. We're going to look at Caleb as our example of that this morning in Joshua chapter 14 and verses 6 through 15. Is our text this morning, Joshua 14, 6 through 15. But let's pray, and I ask God to bless you on this message. Father, we thank you for the grace that you give. And Father, we thank you for a man like Caleb that we can look to in the Bible and say, praise God for an older man that was absolutely obedient to God. And he wholly followed the Lord. And Father, our book hasn't been written yet. Our lives haven't been lived. It remains to be seen. Yet, Father, even at 40, he had the testimony of somebody that fully followed the Lord. And Father, we pray that will be our future, but Father, may it be our present. May the Spirit of God give us grace to live wholeheartedly for God. And Father, as we come to this example, I ask that the Spirit of God would really speak to our hearts. Father, we pray for our young people that the Spirit of God would stir them up, that they determine that by the grace of God, they're going to be somebody like Caleb, that's going to stand for God in obedience to God no matter what. And Father, as parents or as whatever work that we do, Lord, that the Spirit of God gives determination by the grace of God, one thing is going to be true about our life, and that is that we're going to wholly follow the Lord. And so, Father, would you help me as I preach to speak clearly, to articulate the truth effectively? Father, I pray that you use the precious Word of God as it is. It's a powerful book. Father, may it powerfully work in our hearts and our lives today. Father, this is your service. So I pray that you'd have your way. Father, in every heart, every life, that, Lord, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. God, give us ears to hear. God, give us grace to take it in. God, give us grace to apply it to our life. Father, help us not to be hearers only, deceiving our own selves. But, Father, help us be doers. Father, I can't speak without your enablement. And, Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would help me to preach biblically. Father, help me to preach practically. Father, I pray by the grace of God, help me to preach lovingly. And Father, by the enablement of your Spirit, I pray help me to preach powerfully. And Father, I pray that, again, you'd have your way in this service. It's in Christ and in praying. Amen. So, holy follow the Lord. You know, I mean, in Caleb's life, as we look at him this morning, we see an example of a man who knew what it was like to wholly follow the Lord. So with Caleb as our example this Sunday, those who wholly follow the Lord listen when God speaks to them. There's something that's in tune with God. As God speaks, they take it on board, that they could look back at in their life and know that voice of God spoke to them about that decision that they made or that position that they took. Verse 6 says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. And what it is, it's now time to go into the promised land and across the Jordan has been crossed, and it's time to take the promised land for God. Here this old soldier of God comes up to the captain of the host of the Lord, Joshua, and speaks to him and says, hey, you remember what was said to us by God through God's servant Moses? And he's referring back to Numbers chapter 14. And if you want to, again, keep a finger in Numbers 13, 14, we'll be back there a time or two this morning. But if you look at verse 21, Moses has been pleading with God, God be merciful to the people. They rebelled against you. They won't go into the promised land. God be merciful. And God says, I want to annihilate them and raise up a people through you, Moses. And Moses pleads and says, no, what would the heathen think if they saw God destroy his own people? And so he begs for God's mercy. And so God is merciful. In verse 20, the Lord said, I pardoned according to thy word, that as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory, my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the land. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel when they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless, ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. And so we find Caleb, as he's still wholly following the Lord, he's a man that can look back and remember that God spoke, and that because God spoke, he's going to act on what God said. Have you ever sat in a service and just sensed that the Spirit of God was speaking to you? You know, it might be when you got saved, or when God you surrendered your life to the Lord, but heard that voice of God. Samuel, as a young man, knew what it was like to hear the voice of God audibly. 1 Samuel 13 says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down again. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. In the lives of those that follow God, at some point in their life, it might be salvation to start with. The Spirit of God speaks to their heart, and they might go like Samuel, who is that? Who's speaking? Why do I have this desire that I've never had to seek God or to get in the Word of God? And why do I have this conviction that I've never had about my sin and my need of a Savior that died for me? And there's that time, even as children, we're talking this morning about children getting saved, and Kaylee mentioned this morning, because Mac was needing help getting buckled, she said, you know, I couldn't buckle myself in the car when I was 5, because I remember when I got saved, she got saved getting put into the car by me, and getting buckled. And she said, Dad, I want to get saved. It wasn't a very convenient time. My wife was in the house. She had wanted to get saved in the house, but Logan was vomiting and as a little kid. And Mom's dealing with that. And now we're rushing to go to that. If you remember this morning, I prayed for Steve Anderson at Baptist College of Ministry. We were at that church for missions conference. And we were running to get there for a meeting that they're having and buckling her in. And she says, Dad, I want to get saved. What was that? That was God speaking to the heart of my daughter about salvation. And those of us that are saved, at some point when we got saved, the Spirit of God spoke to our heart about salvation. If we're going to wholly follow God, it's good for us to look back at that and say, hey, praise God, that's when I got saved. It gets even better when we surrender. And the Spirit of God speaks to our heart about surrendering our life to God and giving God our life and saying, God, it's not my life anymore. I remember I shared recently about doing that in my life, at Camp Chautauqua, and how well I remember that time, the Spirit of God convicting my heart and not wanting to go out and say to God, whatever you want me to do with my life, I'll do. But how God brought me to that. And it's good for me even now to be able to look back then and say, you know what? God spoke to me back then about that. I can look back, praise God, as God has done other things in my life, specifically with regard to ministry. I can look back and say, that's when God called me to preach. And that gives me courage to continue to follow the Lord, because I can look back at when God spoke to me. I know when God called us to a church planting ministry. So that, as tough as it is at times when we're seeking to establish a church and as a church plant, that we can look back and say, but you know, God called us to church planting. And I can look back and say, you know, I know when God called us to Scotland to start a church. And so it's important for us, we're to wholly follow God. It's important that we have those times that we can look back and say, you know what? Remember when? And that's exactly what we find Caleb doing as he's getting ready to take a position for God. He's looking back and saying, you know what? I can remember when God spoke to me about that. Praise God for those times. Somebody that wholly follows the Lord listens when God speaks to them. But then those that wholly follow the Lord speak from a true heart. Verse 7 says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. And so as Caleb came back, Caleb didn't take a litmus test with the other spies and say, hey guys, tell me what you think. 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 And or even Joshua, tell me what you think. He comes back and he's just going to faithfully report according as God had put it in his heart. And Caleb's heart was one that he looked at what God had called him to do. He looked at it with the eye of faith and he said, God can. And he came back with that good report that we find in Numbers chapter 14. So the congregation is rebelling against God, having received the spies' report, the initial report. And it says, and all the congregation, verse 1, lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And you see the heart of Caleb. I mean, he's gonna follow God, and he said, if the Lord be for us, then God's gonna take us in there. God's gonna get it done. God can do this thing. He had a heart that was dead set on following God. I remember in the 11th year of our church plant in New York City that was started by Pastor James Barker, our family, my wife and I, went to New York City to be an assistant pastor there and for my wife to teach in a Christian school. And the building that we had was a very interesting building. It's a building that I think they got in maybe the 10th year of the church plan. And what it was a former fish market. And if you would have seen the building to begin with, it would have been a brick on the outside, a not very nice car park. It would have had lobster tanks in the back of the property that would have to be infilled. It would have had a smell of fish. All right, that would be there. It was next to a nightclub that was a very wicked place that the only thing separating them was a car park just barely bigger than the size of this room. And so a lot of people looked at that property without my faith, but Pastor Barker looked at that with a heart that God, I'm sure, had stirred up with faith, and he looked at it and he saw a building that could become a church. And when we went there, it wasn't a finished project. We still had no carpet. The auditorium was slightly finished. But what the church had done, for a year and a half, they had met in the car park in New York City in a tent. They set up a tent there, and through the winter, that's where they had their services. I mean, they had worked very hard on this building. But if you saw that building now, pastored by a young man that, when we were there, Carl Lubin is his name. Carl was maybe 13, 14 years of age when I was there. I was his youth pastor. But God's called him to pastor that church now that is fully established, 25 years old. And while we were there, they put a beautiful facade on the building that's kind of like a stucco. It's similar to Harlan, but would not stand up to our weather. It's just a beautiful building that God brought to pass. There could be a lot of people that look at something and say, there's no way it could ever be accomplished. There's no way it's going to be done. Or there could be people with, like Caleb, that have a heart for God and say, you know what, God can do this. And have an eye of faith as they speak from a true heart that is the heart of God, just like the heart of David when it speaks about him in Acts chapter 13, that God gave testimony about David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall fulfill all my will. Man has that desire that says, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to please God. I'm going to accomplish what God desires me to do. God looked at Abraham and said, there's a man that's going to command his family after me. Why? Because God knew the heart of that man. It's like Nehemiah, as he got burdened about Jerusalem, the state of Jerusalem, and he comes back, and he's going to rebuild the walls. And the Bible says that he, in Numbers or Nehemiah chapter 2, that he hadn't yet told the men what God had put in his heart to do at Jerusalem. And praise God for people of vision that in their heart, they're burdened to say, you know what, God can. They don't look at the land of promise with discouragement. Oh, well, look at the big giants. They look at it and say, you know what, God is going to do this thing for God's glory. Praise God. Those who wholly follow the Lord speak from a true heart for God. And then those who wholly follow the Lord follow him when no one else does. They follow him when no one else does. Verse 8 says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. And those other 10 spies, remember in chapter 13 of Numbers in verse 30, I got to get there myself. I'm in Joshua. It says that Caleb stilled the people before Moses, said, let's go up at once and possess it. We're well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so are we in their sight. And yet in verse 9 and 10, they again say, only rebel not ye against the Lord, Caleb and Joshua, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bred for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And so here you have Joshua and Caleb not only saying, hey, God can take us up and we can conquer this land because God has promised it and God is good and God's going to get it done. But now everybody else, except for them and Moses and Aaron, it seems, has turned their back on God and said God can't. Not only that, but God's brought us out here to destroy us. They're in rebellion against God. And so much so that they say, you look at Joshua and Caleb standing up for God, and they despise them, and they hate them, and they persecute them, and they want to persecute them because of the stand that they're taking for the Lord. There's a chorus that we have in our hymnal, which is, I've decided to follow Jesus. And it says, though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. And that's easy to sing, but it's harder to live. See, let me ask you today, are you going to be faithful to church even if nobody else is? What if you come to church and nobody's here? And it happens week after week. See, what happens in that case, I'll tell you this, when we started the church, there were many times that this preacher sat in this room with my family on that side praying because this room was absent. You know, there's going to be times of testing where we're going to have to decide, well, you know, why really are we doing things? Have we decided, you know what, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to please God. It doesn't matter if I get support at home. It doesn't matter if I get support in my community. It doesn't matter if I get support from the rest of Christianity. Or the rest of Christianity understands that the isolation that I feel as I stand for God, it doesn't matter because I will stand for God. That's what we find when we see the heart of Caleb this morning. C.H. Spurgeon was mightily used of God in the 1800s down in England. He had a great school that he started that trained a lot of good servants of God that went into the ministry. But there's something called the downgrade controversy. The downgrade controversy was Spurgeon standing up against liberalism creeping into the denomination, the Baptist Union, and to the point where Spurgeon finally had to say, I remove myself from the Baptist Union. And when he did that, surprisingly, a lot of his students didn't follow him. A lot of his students didn't stand up for him. His wife thinks that caused an early death in the life of C.H. Spurgeon because of the burden that he was under. But the Prince of Preachers took a stand for God. And it didn't matter what everybody else did or what everybody else thought because he was going to obey God. I referred recently to Thomas Chalmers in the disruption in the 1800s, 1843, as they came to the question of the separation of church and state, the courts had gotten involved in making them appoint ministers that were liberal ministers that were put in by, I can't think of the word, where somebody wealthy in the area puts a minister in. They were making that have to happen without the Church of Scotland giving their approval. And it became an issue of church and state, and Thomas Chalmers and the men said, no, if we've got to give up our livelihood, if we've got to give up our pulpits and our parishes, then we give that up because we stand for principle, we'll keep principle, and we'll do away with our means because the government supported them at that time. Now, where are those people that have that mentality that have just decided, you know what, I'm going to serve God? Caleb followed God, not men. F.B. Meyer said about this passage, the spies compared the Canaanites with themselves instead of with Almighty God. Do not look at God through circumstances, but at circumstances through God. There's no land worth possessing which has not its giants. But like Caleb, faith looks not at giants, but to the living God. The doubters said, can God? Caleb affirmed, God can. It's a great statement. I mean, Caleb had the idea, God's going to get this done. And so I'm going to stand with God. And though no one join me, still I will follow. Those who wholly follow the Lord, follow Him when no one else does. Those who wholly follow the Lord don't let time dull God's promises. And don't let time dull God's promises. Verse 9 says, "And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land where thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." And Caleb's looking back, and he's saying, Joshua, remember that day? 45 years ago, Moses promised, he said that this land was going to be the land that I would possess, and despite the passage of time, Caleb was as convinced that that was exactly God's plan and what God would do. Abraham was promised by God that he was going to be a father of a mighty nation. But as you know, as he received that promise that he's going to have a seed that is numberless, he didn't have a seed that was able to be numbered at all because it didn't exist. And for 25 years, Abraham would have to wait in faith for the promise to be fulfilled that God had given. When the Messiah was promised, obviously he was promised centuries before he ever came. And yet the Bible says in Galatians 4:4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law." There was a perfect timing that God had, and that promise of Messiah was as good every year along the way. No matter how much it seemed like it would never take place, it would happen in God's timing. We read this morning in our Sunday school prayer time, we read Psalm, I think 69, Psalm 70, and where David says, "My prayer is unto thee, O God, in an accepted time." God, in your timing. We talked about this morning in Sunday school. God's timing is not our timing. 1,000 years is a day to God. It's just like yesterday. There's nothing that God is burned about like we are. We think time is so important. It's not in God's economy. Are God's promises as good to you today as they always have been, despite the passage of time? Are you as enthused and excited as Caleb was? Caleb lived those 45 years anticipating, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. God's going to do it. I'll just tell you this. I had a minister in Scotland say to me on a survey trip, my first survey trip, he said this. He said, "When you come, you have zero people. 20 years later, when you leave, you have zero." That's what he said. Now, praise God, that's not been our experience. I rejoice in what we've seen God do. But if that was our experience, what God did in my heart with that statement was this. If God hasn't done it today, I want to believe that God can do it tomorrow. We have immense prayer time that has existed for the last 6 or 7 years weekly. That a primary purpose of that is praying, God send revival. We need a spiritual awakening because evangelism isn't getting it done. We need a special move of God in Scotland. We desire to see many people get saved. But listen, we know the stories of what God has done in the past. Do we have any anticipation in our heart that God will do that in the future? Because God is God and God is able. Those who wholly follow the Lord don't let time dull the promises of God. God said they're going to take that promised land. 1 Kings 8:56 says, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." God did it. You know what? Our confidence today is this. We serve a God that's given us untold promises in the Word of God. They're as true today as they were in the day God gave them. As we stand for God and obey God and wholly follow God, we can anchor ourselves in that because God said it. And God's promises are true, regardless if there's been years that seems like I've been waiting for God to work. Those who wholly follow the Lord don't let time dull God's promises. Those who wholly follow the Lord are aware of the providence of God. They can look back and see the hand of God. Verse 10 says, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85. As yet I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for both war, both to go out and to come in. And as a man in the prime of his life, he had gone to spy out the land. He comes back and he says, God can, God will. The people rebelled. And over the next 45 years, all those 20 years and older, they died in the wilderness. We got two guys, Joshua and Caleb, the two older men of Israel, that could look back at their health and their strength that they had at 40. And now at 85, I would love to see Caleb. I mean, Caleb was fit. Caleb was ready. Nothing has changed because God was faithful. And he could see the providence of God preparing him to still wholly follow the Lord where he was at as an 85-year-old. You know, those that wholly follow the Lord, again, they can look back and say, you know, I see the hand of God. I see the providence of God. As I go forward for God, I can look back and I can say, you know, I see what God was doing, what God has been doing. God is at work. And they gain encouragement from that. I just read Richard Hester's autobiography. He was, I mentioned in high school, a man that was started a Lebanese church in Australia at the end of his life. But at the beginning of his life, he went to Bible college in the States. He grew up in a farm, went to Bible college. God called him to start a church. He started a church with no income for himself. He got married with no income for himself. Just was a man that obeyed God, and God provided. But God called him into missions, and he went to Lebanon. And in Lebanon, there came a civil war, and a lot of people left. And the United States said for people to leave, but they didn't leave. They stayed and obeyed God. And he talks about God in his mercy, saving him from an abduction as a guy went to abduct him. And people saw it happening and were turning their backs. The man became very confused in what he was saying. And he was able, Richard Hester left. There was another time where his wife was to be with him as he went up on the mountainside to evangelize in the community. She decided to stay home. He went up there. There was a checkpoint. They opened fire on his vehicle. Because his wife wasn't there, he was able to lay down flat in the seat. They shot 37 bullets through his vehicle. And when they came up to the vehicle, he sat up and said hello. And I mean, he had his hair parted. He had a burn across one of his hands. He speaks about being able later to witness in the hospital to one of the men that tried to assassinate him. And later, after the war, he was able to sit down with a couple of the men that were there. And what is great about his biography is it's ordinary ministry where he can look back at an extraordinary God and what God did. That church that he established, the first church, his church plant, he went back to the 50th anniversary, and I mean, it's a large church that's prospering. His Lebanese ministry prospered. He went to Australia because a lot of his congregation migrated to Australia. He went there, God put him there, and that ministry that he did there prospered. It's just, and the title of the book is Cast Thy Bread Upon the Water. And it's the idea, you put it out, and it's going to bring a harvest. And he was able to look back and say, see what God did. And it's good for us as we wholly follow God to be able to look back and say, but I see the providence of God. I see God guiding me there. I see God directing me there. And Caleb did that. He said, God has kept me in my strength. And then those who wholly follow the Lord are not afraid to go into enemy territory. It says in verse 12, he says, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. He said, give me that mountain. I want to take that mountain. And as he describes it, he says, it's got the fortresses. It's got the impregnable places. And he said, I want to take that. Now he's got up to the captain. The captain is Joshua. And he's asked Joshua, you know, as you think about this story, here's the 84-year-old guy that has a big heart for God. And there's a lot of younger guys that look at and say, you know, they should be the ones that are doing that. But Caleb said, you know what, Joshua, send me in. I want to take some ground for God at 85 for God's glory. I mentioned doing my internship in 1998 with Dr. Nelson. He had started that church at 70. He passed that church up to 77. That church, Bethel Baptist West in Tucson, Arizona, is a church that is thriving, that is doing incredibly well, that he started at an age where a lot of people would have entered into retirement. I've shared before, I preached a message at a church, a larger church in the United States, and a message on revival. And at the invitation time, a congregation of 200 people, as they invited people to come up and pray, one man got up. It was a former pastor of the church, whose son pastors the church now, a man in close to 80 years of age that got on his knees to pray and ask God for God's work. You know, and you think, you're the last guy that should be coming up there. You know, you look at our congregation and you look at the abilities and things that we have. Praise God, we are a young congregation. What do we desire to do for God? Where's our vision? Say, you know what, I want to be somebody that fully follows the Lord. God, we're coming into 2020. Give me something I can do for God. Give me something I can take. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, battle's tough. But I want to do something for God. Praise God. There was a man like Caleb that wanted to go into enemy territory for the Lord. And then those who wholly follow the Lord know that God's presence guarantees victory. So he says to Joshua, the cities are great and fenced. Verse 12, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I should be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Now, notice in the text, as we read it, it doesn't speak about battle. It's omitted. It just says that Joshua, okay, have Hebron, and Caleb took Hebron, but to take Hebron, he had to go through a great battle. But it didn't matter, because he said, if so be that the Lord be with me, I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And it's exactly what the scripture records, that he received Hebron. Arba was a great man, but not after he faced Caleb and the God of Caleb. David's words to Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And we know the end of the story. The giant was nothing, because God was so powerful. You know what? Praise God this morning, as we talk about taking ground for God. And I hope that is in the heart of our church this morning. We want to be so that wholly follows the Lord, that we have with us the God who is able to do that. And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. In Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And as we come into 2020, I mean, there's a great opportunity for us. We ought to look at Scotland and say, hey, praise God. We ought to look at Food Baptist Church in Lonehead and say, praise God. I mean, Lonehead, Bilston, Roslyn, God is growing this area. Liberton, we've got West Linden, we've got Vigor. There ought to be a vision that our church has of saying, God, there's other areas that need independent Baptist churches. But for that to take place, what we really need, by God's grace, is to say, I'm going to be that person that wholly follows the Lord. And so, as you think about that this morning, are you somebody that can look back and say, you know, I remember when I got saved. I remember when I surrendered. And it keeps that in mind. And God's working in my life. And do you speak for a true heart for God, that you really have a burden to please God and obey God, and confidence that God will work? Are you willing to follow Him, even if no one else does, and just obey God? Do God's promises dull over time, or is they as bright as the day that He gave them? Have you seen the providence of God in your life? Are you afraid of the enemy of God, or do you look at the enemy and say, you know what, it's a great enemy, but God is with me and willing to go as long as God goes with you. God, help us to be those that wholly follow the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of Caleb. And Father, I'm very thankful
for those in our church and the Lord for how you're working in our hearts as a congregation. And Father, as an 85-year-old, Caleb hadn't changed from when he was 40 in his obedience to God. And Father, just pray today that the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, help us to be what we ought to be for you. I pray, Lord, that we could have a great impact for God and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, simply we'll sing again, 388, where he leads me, I will follow. 388.